Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast, we gave you some headlines, some crazy stuff with the wild card situation going on. So lots of news and notes to get to there. Who's hot and who's not? Who's closing out the season strong? And that kind of relates into our buy low and sell high. We want to know, who can we buy low or sell high in our dynasty leagues or going into next year, looking at next year's draft, looking at trades if you're in a keeper slash dynasty league, all that stuff. We're helping you out with all of that. So lots to get to. And then a special prospect report, I would say that. So all that and a whole lot more coming up on the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast. Stay tuned. Welcome back to the Just Fantasy Baseball podcast. I hope you're enjoying. If you're in your championship and you're wrapping up, you're winning, hopefully. If you're not, let's try and get you that dub with a couple of insights and notes to get you going the rest of the way here. Vince, how you doing, buddy?
I'm in a couple semis and championships, so I'm excited. Looks like I'm going to at least hop into the final. I mean, I say that now, but anything can change. Scores are heading my way, so that's a good sign. Other than that, though, I mean, life's pretty good. Nothing to complain about. How about yourself?
I'm pretty good. How about the Detroit Tigers? I mean, have you seen what's going on there?
Well, I told you to watch out for them. I don't have the specifics in front of me, but yeah, what do you got?
Well, they've won four in a row now, and they are now a half a game out of the playoffs. They were 8 games under 500. Somebody sent me this. I don't know if you know. I have family in Detroit, so here we go. And the Twins lost today. They were 55-63 on August 10th. The only MLB team to ever make the playoffs in a non-shortened season after being 8-plus games under 500 in August or later was the Mets in 1973, and now they are 80-73. So think about that. That's 25-10 in their last 35 games, and they're a half a game out of the playoffs. And I think with the Minnesota loss, they might be tied for the last playoff spot. They might be.
You know, I don't know if it's exactly right, but that sounds about when Parker Meadows came back. No, it's about that timeline.
August 10th. I mean, you could look that up, but how crazy is that? And yeah, they are tied now, and they have the playoff spot, the Tigers, as of right now. That is crazy.
Good for them. We saw quite a bit, a lot of production from guys that I wasn't expecting. Like Wenzel Perez was another one that, my ESPN started playing. Wenzel Perez was one that I wasn't expecting from them. It kind of came out of nowhere.
Think about this. You know, Flaherty is going to start game one for the Dodgers with all their pitching injuries. Like, can you imagine if the Tigers still had Jack Flaherty? Like, wouldn't that be nice to go into a wild card series? It's like, oh, we need 2 games, but a boom, but a bang, 1-2 punch, Scooble, Flaherty, see ya, goodbye. You know, like, although remember when they had Verlander and Scherzer and Price and they lost to the Orioles in the wild card round. So I think Tiger fans remember that having the great 3 pitchers, or in this case, 2 pitchers at the top of the rotation doesn't guarantee shit, but pretty crazy stuff. And all this losing that Minnesota has done, because it's been equally Minnesota losing to Detroit winning, it's gotten, you know, Seattle, who's played like shit, they're only 2 games over, and Boston, that's a 500 team, they're only 2.5 and 3.5 back. Now there's 10 games to play, 2.5, 3.5 back. That's a big margin to cover in 10 games, but hey, you know, like they still have a chance because of this.
Yeah, and just looking up some old tweets, it looks like on September 12th, Tigers PR posted that they had the best record, best 28-game span since August 11th, and their pitching staff posted a 2.46 ERA, which was tops in the major league. I was trying to find – I saw a tweet earlier where it was talking about how good their pitching has been, and it was better than the Verlander-Price era. Like there was a stretch where it was just, it was unbelievable. And so good for the
Tigers. Verlander, Price, Scherzer. I mean, that rotation is stupid.
Yeah. Right.
But yes, no, you're right. And it's fun to watch. And it feels like MLB has got to be really excited. Like, I think the league is very mediocre across the board. And I think that was kind of frustrating for most of the year. But what MLB has got in the last 3 weeks with the wild card races in both leagues, I think they could not be happier. I saw Rich Eisen live tweeting now he's on the West Coast doing, you know, his show in LA, but he was live tweeting the Yankees West Coast game in Seattle last night, like, you know, reacting to every little thing that happened. Like it was a playoff game. You know, he's obviously a New York guy originally. I think he was one of the guys who interned at FAN actually. But yeah, I was working the game. I see Rich Eisen's locked in. Did you see that play?
No.
From J-Rod? I mean, talk about a guy who just might be broken. So
his offensive numbers have looked pretty good lately.
Yes. So he strikes out there's a runner on third. The Yankees are up one. It's runners on the corners, nobody out, and a Rosarena at the plate. So middle of the lineup basically up for the Mariners. The Yankees are up one in the 10th inning. Runners on the corners. And what's his name? Rosarena strikes out and throws the bat down the third baseline on the strikeout. So Julio dodges out of the way from the bat because he's at third base. But then he starts to just has a brain fart and starts to just jog off. Like he like does like a like a dodge and then like almost like being funny, like runs away a little bit, like, oh my god, the bat's gonna hit me. And then he just threw down to third and got him out. Like the ball was still alive. What are we doing?
No, I didn't see that. That's pretty bad. Come on, J-Rod. Figure it out.
Come on, J-Rod is right. Bobichet's season is over.
Was that was that J-Rod one on the 17th when he had four hits as well, or was that the day after when he went 0 for?
No, it was the 18th.
So yeah, okay.
Over, I think it was. I think he was only on third because he was the runner. You know what I mean?
Oh sure, right. Yep.
He was the designated runner who started the inning at second. That's what, you know, the man for the man. So I don't even think he got on base. I think he got out to end the prior inning. Bo Bichette's season is over. I don't know if you saw that.
I did, and that's unfortunate. And what a talk about a downfall. I mean.
Yeah, you know, we talked about him as like such a great option. You know, I was all over him early in the year. Like, give me Bo Bichette so many times. I wanted him, but
yeah, and he even I remember the first was it 2 or 3 weeks of the year he started off phenomenal. Everybody's like, oh, Bo Bichette's back, and then he just fell off a cliff again. And he's one of those guys I can't get excited about, no matter how many times I look at it or any way I try to slice it. He wasn't running, he wasn't hitting the ball hard, and maybe this is for the best. Maybe he needs a mental reset. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, it's 10 days, the end of the year. He's going to go to Cabo a little bit earlier, I guess, and then come back next year maybe with a little different mindset. Speaking of going to Cabo and maybe never coming back, Craig Kimbrell, enjoy retirement, buddy, because he was DFA'd by the Orioles. It's crazy that he got DFA'd at this point in the season, but it's almost like, do you remember with in Moneyball, and obviously this is not how it went down in real life, he's like, I'm playing Pena at first. I'm playing Pena at first. He's like, well, I traded Pena, so you can't play Pena at first. It's almost like Mike Elias is like, well, Hyde, you cannot bring Kimbrell into the game now because he's not on the team. I feel like the Yankees need to do this. Like Cashman needs to do this with Clay Holmes. Like Boone keeps bringing him in the one-run game. He blew his 13th save of the year. Mm-hmm. Now, it wasn't a save. You know, it goes down as a blown save. He wouldn't have gotten the save had he completed because it was in the 7th or 8th inning. I think it was the 8th inning. You know, that's how it works. It was the 8th inning. He got the out in the 7th and gave up the home run in the 8th. But the point is, it's almost like I said, like, the Yankees should leave Clay Holmes off the playoff roster because Aaron Boone's like, oh my God, it's Clay Holmes. Let me bring him in a big spot. No, it's not the same guy. Like, when can you get that through your head? Like, the Yankees need to have him not on the roster because Boone looks at him and is like, oh, it's Mariano Rivera. It's like, no, he's not. He sucks and you can't bring him in. In a one-run game, he blows it every single time. 13 saves now is tied for the franchise record. It's actually, I said this a few times. Clay Holmes blowing 13 saves this year is more impressive than Brad Lidge's perfect season. Because it's almost impossible that a manager would keep going back to you with how shitty he's been. So him doing that is actually more impressive than Brad Lidge not blowing a save the entire regular season and postseason. Because that, like, if a guy gets hot, it's just unbelievable. Wow, that's like an unbelievable season. But for a guy to blow 13 saves and continue to get opportunities to blow saves, that's hard to do. That's really hard to accomplish.
Especially on a team like the Yankees, you would think, who would have plenty of options.
Right, they have other options. And not only do you have other options, but, like, they're in important games. This is not, like, this is not the White Sox. That doesn't matter. Oh, 13 losses, what's the difference? This is a team that's fighting for every game. Speaking of, the Orioles, finally, they won a game today. But, whoa.
Yeah, it's a little tough looking at some of the young guys, too, on that team that you thought would be contributors. Jackson Holliday, Kobe Mayo. What do you think the problem is? You know, I wish I could tell you. I don't know. Is it
they're going to get Hyde, man, like Hyde fired, which is a shame because I don't think Hyde's a bad manager. I think I said this on last episode also, or two episodes ago. I know we talked about him. So,
do you think this is like costing him his job at this point?
Yes, I do. Yeah. 100%. I think he's done. I think regardless, the way the last couple weeks have gone, regardless, unless they go to the ALCS, and even then, we saw it happen with the Yankees. Like, they were fed up with the way Girardi ran things. And even though they got to game 7 of the ALCS against the cheating Astros, they still fired him, like, which I don't agree with. I still don't agree with to this day, but you know.
Does the same apply for the Atlanta Braves manager?
No, they've
kind of played themselves out of a playoff
Snicker,
spot.
He has, okay, mm-hmm. But Snicker has had a million injuries this year. I go the opposite. I think even if they make the playoffs, I think he's candidate for manager of the year. Outside of the guy, obviously Murphy in Milwaukee, who probably is the manager of the year.
Yeah, right.
But you know, they're the first team to win their division also. So yeah, no, I think Snicker, it's a totally different situation. I think, you know, the number of injuries and bad breaks they've dealt with, the fact that they might even make the playoffs, which, you know, they still should, that's crazy.
Yeah, we'll see. The Mets have been playing really well. Arizona's been playing really well. So we'll see.
Yep. All right. Who's hot, who's not? Brought to you by your buddy's HVAC company.
Yeah, no, I can find out the name of it. No free ads. Okay. My first guy is Colorado Rocky, and not one that I would have thought would have made this list at the beginning of the year, and that's Hunter Goodman. He is catcher and outfield eligible, and there's a ton of hitters performing right now, but Goodman has been incredible. I have to talk about him at least a little bit. In his last 8 games, he's hitting .285 with 5 home runs. Yes, 5 home runs in 8 games, 10 RBIs. He did have a huge 7 RBI game thrown in there. The season numbers are awful throughout the year, though. So, you know, his average is .195. I want to say, I don't have it in front of me. And I actually thought about him as a potential sell high because, you know, look at him. He's got this huge power binge. Maybe he's figured that out. But with the double eligibility, catcher and outfield, we talk about how thin catcher is all the time. And you look back at some of his underlying numbers and minor league numbers, I think Hunter Goodman might be legit and might be a guy to watch out for, especially next year. He's got good power, 88.7 average exit velocity. He barrels the ball, 13% barrel rate in the MLB this season, which is phenomenal. And again, minor league numbers from last year, he hit 34 home runs in 106 games between double and triple A. So potential is certainly there. I'm picturing like a Cal Raleigh light next season. Could be a great, great deal and bargain in drafts next year. Hunter Goodman is a good man. So keep him on your radar for next year.
Yeah, my hot, and this is crazy, is I'm just going to go, by the way, I meant to do it. I don't know why. Did I do it? I think I did. I think I bet the Mariners to win by at least a run today, because a run and a half, I think, because, I mean, you saw like the Yankees, they do the champagne and then they have to turn around to the day game. Like, this is going to be the most easy win ever for the Mariners. Like, I don't know what people think. The Yankees were favored in today's game. Anyway, I bet it last night, like as I was watching the celebration, I was like, well, this should be an easy win for the Mariners. They're up 2-0 and have 2 runners on in the first inning. My hot is the Mets pitching rotation. So you had Tyler McGill as your streamer. I had Jose Quintana. My guy was just a little bit better. 7 innings, no runs. Your guy, I think, was 6 innings, 1 run. I was at the game that McGill pitched, though, just to check it out. And Pete put on a show for me. Thank you, Pete Alonso. I made him my lock of the week, and he was like, oh, here you go. I will show you what a lock of the week looks like. He was awesome. Hit a home run, had a double, had a bunch of RBIs. But listen to some of these numbers. You ready? David Peterson's season ERA is 2.85. Pretty good. In his last 18 starts, Sean Manaea's ERA is 2.69. In his last 6 starts, Luis Severino's ERA is 2.35. In his last 5 starts, Jose Quintana's ERA is 0.28. And in his last 4 starts, Tyler McGill, his ERA is 1.69. This team's pitching, you talk about, like, you know, going back to the old days of, you know, we talked about this with the Tigers, going back to the old days of the Tigers rotation. Well, remember when the Mets rotation was the 5 aces with DeGrom, Syndergaard, Mats, Wheeler, Harvey, right? Those were like the 5 aces in 2015. It was like, oh my God, we have 5 aces. They might have 5 aces now with Quintana, McGill, Severino, Manaea, and Peterson. Like, it doesn't feel like it, but those numbers are stupid.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. Also, Mariners are up 3-0 now in the first inning.
Yep.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. And that's why they're in the playoffs right now. Mm-hmm.
I got them at plus money.
Good for you. I'll jump to who's not right away. Yeah. I have a guy that I had high hopes for, I want to say for at least the last 2, maybe 3 years into his minor league career. Reed Detmers for the Los Angeles Angels just keeps breaking our hearts, man. I mean, we get glimpses, but they vanish so quickly that it's almost like we question whether or not it was there at all. He had 2 starts before his latest one, which he looked phenomenal. He pitched against Minnesota and the Dodgers, and he threw 2 quality starts, 6 innings in both of them, with 18 strikeouts total over those 12 innings. Like, phenomenal, right? That's great. This guy's here. He's finally made it. And then he went and got torched by the White Sox for 7 earned runs. Rami, can you make it make sense? Like, how does that make sense? Guy throws 18 phenomenal innings against 2 great offenses and then can't make it against the White Sox. I don't understand. I can't rely on him anymore. Season ERA of 6 and a whip of 1.4. I don't care how good the strikeout numbers look. I can't do it anymore. I keep getting my heart broken. He might figure it out, but it's not going to be on any of my teams. So if I miss the boat, oh well. Reed Detmers is just killing me. He's not hot just from 1 start. So I'm going to throw that in there.
Yeah, my not hot is the Baltimore Orioles. I know they won today. They're still 3-7 in their last 10, 13-17 in their last 30 for a team that's supposed to be a playoff team. And yesterday, now it's 4.5 because it'll go back to 4 if the Yankees lose today. But yesterday was the largest deficit in the AL East that the Orioles had the entire season, which is crazy to think that, like, in September, end of the season, a team that was right there all year, you had your largest deficit of the entire season in the standings in the AL East. And we talked about the young guys. It's been the pitching. It's been the young guys. It's been
Corbin Burns.
Corbin Burns, exactly. Yeah, he's been awful. I was gonna, dude.
Two totally different pitches. That's funny.
Yeah, I was gonna say Patrick Corbin. I was gonna say Corbin Carroll. I was like, no,
something Corbin.
I know it's Corbin. Corbin what? Corbin Burns. But the point is, he's been awful too. It's just like this entire team, and like we said, I don't know what's going to happen with them, but the whole thing's blown up in smoke. So
I don't know what the odds are on World Series, but they'd probably be one of my last choices at this point, because it really is who's playing their best baseball at the end of the year. And out of all of the teams in
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Play the Tigers. The Tigers have been hot.
Right. Out of all the teams, like in a series that the series started tomorrow, give me the Tigers, right? Yeah. Like there's no reason to take the Orioles. They haven't proved it. And
you know what? Good. Sometimes that could happen where, like, you know, you just flip a switch. There's a couple days off between the regular season and the playoffs, and all of a sudden they're hot. Like the Yankees are going to have a long layoff. The Yankees are playing their best baseball of the year right now, you know, arguably. Right. And, you know, whatever. It's not their best, but the combination of them being pretty good and the Orioles being really bad is, you know, has gotten them to where they are. And then, you know, they're going to have, if they win the division, they're going to have that week off or whatever. And it's going to be, oh, now we have to get hot again. I don't know. Buy low, sell high. I did something a little different. I told you I was going to do something a little interesting for this week. And the reason why I'm doing it this way is because, again, I don't know how much we're relying on trades or buy low, sell high if you're in the semifinals or the finals right now of your fantasy league. So mine is kind of like, whose stock do I think is lower than it should be? Whose do I think is higher than it should be going into the draft next year? So my buy low, basically going into the draft, somebody I would draft, I love at their ADP where they should go next year, you know, based on the season they had, versus somebody who I think is going to get overhyped because of this year. So I have one pitcher and one hitter for each category. So I'll start with my buy low for my hitter. Somebody who I'm high on next year that I think people might be low on, and I'm still high on him. And I think, you know, his drop in value or ADP, I think buy it. And I think you're going to have a good opportunity there to get great value for where you end up drafting this guy. And that is Trey Turner. If you're in a dynasty league, maybe trade for him. His season this year was not good. His season last year was not good. You know, this year was even worse because he had all the injuries he dealt with. So he barely, you know, he barely even got to the same numbers. 18 home runs, 15 stolen bases, only 56 RBIs and 80 runs scored for Trey Turner. The production's just not there. A 343 on base is also just not good enough for what you expect and where he might have been drafted for by Trey Turner. He's like over, you know, 109th ranked fantasy player this year. Not good enough. And so I think personally he's going to bounce back. I know maybe it's, oh, he's getting older, the big contract. There's a couple of things that maybe make you think that we're never going to see the same Trey Turner again. I still believe we'll see the same Trey Turner. Maybe not the power numbers, although last year he had 26 home runs. So if he hits 25 home runs and still can steal 40 bases and get to that number in a full healthy season and score 100 something runs in that Philly lineup, like he's a really, really valuable player still. And I think that player's in there. And I don't think that the guy we've seen the last 2 years is really who he's going to be. But I think because it's now 2 years, I think people coming into this year were still high on him. Like, okay, no, bounce back year. But I think because it's been two consecutive years now, people are kind of out on him going into next year. So if you can trade for him, you know, in your dynasty league, if you can draft him at a lower ADP next year, or if you can even, yeah, you know, see what people are thinking. I like Trey Turner going into next year.
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I, you know, we'll see where his ADP falls. I think that'll be interesting. You know, he's still hitting just under 300 right now.
But the on base for a guy who's hitting 300 is pretty low. 340 is not, you know.
Yeah, right. I mean, and you're absolutely right, though. Great Phillies lineup. Hitting, if he's hitting at the top of it, there's plenty of run potential there, even RBI potential. So I like it. I get it. I kind of, you know, I was thinking the same thing. So I kind of went in the same direction. This guy may not help you much. I mean, he's had a really bad September, so this year may not be the year for him, but Tristan Casas seems like he has a forgotten man. He came back from his injury and he kind of picked up, but he hasn't really picked up where he left off. And from a dynasty perspective, honestly, I hope he doesn't finish the season strong, because I think it's a very strong buy window as is. And I mean, you look at September, he's hitting 225 in September with one home run. I'm calling this a wash year for Casas. I think Boston's going to come back next year and be even better than they were this year. And I mean, all you have to do is look at, you know, you mentioned 2 years. If you look at last year, he had 24 home runs in 132 games last year, average exit velocity of 91.1, 13% barrel rate. But the big one was the ex-WOBA of 370. That number would be 16th best in the MLB this season, right between Jackson Merrill and Rafael Devers. Above guys like Mookie Betts and Bryce Harper. So that's the type of hitter that we're talking about. If we get a full healthy season from him where, you know, he doesn't have to press, he can just kind of relax and play, be himself. again, it's probably going to apply for next season's draft or, you know, off-season price, but I'm absolutely all in still on Casas. I hope people don't forget about him, and I think he's going to return to form pretty quickly next year.
Yeah, it's a good one also. It's somebody I thought about because, you know, so much has been made of O'Neill in that lineup at times and what he's done this year, and obviously Duran, what he's done. But I think Casas is still obviously, you know, you remember him as one of the top prospects or, you know, more hyped guys in that lineup. And if we've talked about this a bunch with the Boston lineup, I think they're actually going to be pretty good next year, and they're 500 now. I expect them to be better next year. So we've talked about some of those guys. My guy is Carlos Rodon. And this was a guy who was on my do not draft list coming into this year. Another guy who, you know, I felt really, I could not be lower on. I was like, no, don't draft him no matter what, especially where he's going. Maybe it took him a year or two to get acclimated to the Bronx, because last year, of course, the 684 ERA, you only throw 64 innings, and you're thinking, wow, the back injuries. And this year, you're like, no way. And he has a couple of bad starts early, and the ERA is still not great. Like a 412 ERA, 1.2 whip is not great. But he has 15 wins already on this Yankee team. I don't see, if the Yankees are good next year, you should have, if you're in a wins league, that should be a lock. His 186 strikeouts in 163 innings. He's given you a ton of innings, a ton of strikeouts, and I expect him to be even better next year. It felt like it took him a while to get comfortable in New York. New place, giant contract, having to live up to it. The last 3 months, I would say, it really feels like, yes, he's had a clunker in there or two. What starting pitcher doesn't, especially a guy like him who's a fastball pitcher who's prone to giving up a lot of home runs at times. He's been awesome this year. I don't think even Yankee fans, I don't think, give him enough credit. He's more than earned a postseason start for the Yankees. And I really think that going into next year, people might look at him and be like, oh, Rodon, haha, as if I'm going to make that mistake again. No, I wouldn't undervalue him. I would kind of value him a little bit higher than what people are thinking.
Yeah, I think that's a good call. And, you know, like you said, he's earned a spot starting for the Yankees in the playoffs. I think that's absolutely true. You know, he's a veteran. I would want him to be starting for my team, whatever that is. Yeah, he's looked good the last month, especially. I think there's a good buying opportunity there. Absolutely.
Yep. Well, on the other side, the sell is that, do you have any more buy?
No, go ahead.
Yeah. So on the other side, I'm going to be selling Chris Sale. This is an awesome year. We've seen this from so many athletes have that one last year where they look like themselves, you know, right before like it completely falls off. I feel like we've seen that so many times with guys like Derek Jeter had an incredible year 2 years before he retired. You know what I mean? Then he got hurt. Like, guys have this at the end of their career where they're, and he's been the ninth ranked fantasy baseball player, 219 strikeouts, 172 innings, 2.3 ERA. The whip is a one. And I saw this somewhere. Let me find it, because this was impressive as hell. He has a 1.2 ERA over his last seven starts, which is stupid good. He's finishing the season strong. He's been incredible. And I think he's going to be looked at as, oh, Chris Sale is back. I don't know if Chris Sale is back. I think Chris Sale had a really unbelievable year that I have to give him a ton of credit for. But going into next year, he's going to be 36 years old next season. He's just one of those guys that I'd rather get out a year early than a year late on. And if you got him this year and somehow you rode through with him all year and you got that production, congrats. Like, I'm happy for you, because you got a starting pitcher who's ace level, maybe the best pitcher in the league all year. Congrats to you. And maybe he wins Cy Young, and like, that's awesome for him. Like, really, like, after everything he's gone through, the fact that he's come back and the fact that he sucked for the Red Sox and now he's coming back and doing this elsewhere, like, I couldn't be happier. But I just don't buy it for next year. If you're in a dynasty league and you have him, maybe the day your season ends, trade him. You know what I mean? If you're drafting next year and you see someone drafting him really high, or you're at the spot that should be his ADP, maybe you draft him and flip him before the season even starts. You know, like, I could be wrong on this, but this is one of those where, like I said, I'd rather be out a year soon than a year late.
There's a lot of times I agree with you on that, but not, I don't think I could do it here.
Really?
Chris Sale feels like, I mean,
at 36, he's just going to all of a sudden go back to being dominant Chris Sale.
Well, let's put it this way. DeGrom is 36 right now, and I'm going to be drafting him probably next year. I don't, age doesn't scare me off as much on pitchers as hitters.
Well, you consider the innings he hasn't thrown the last bunch of years, right? Maybe his arm is younger. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, you know, that could be part of it too. Absolutely. But I mean, we've seen so many guys really pick up their stride almost in their 30s. Right. I mean, it's almost like pitching feels like an old man's game sometimes. You know, it takes 5-10 years to really figure it out and settle into the majors. And then it's like, okay, now I can focus on, you know, adjusting and whatever. And yeah, I don't want to say I hope you're wrong, but I hope you're wrong, because
no,
I
hope I'm wrong too. I'm not saying I don't want to be right about everything all the time. You know, sometimes you have to give an opinion that you just think and like, so that doesn't, this, if I'm wrong, then I'm more than happy, because I think it's a great story for a guy whose career looked like it was toast, you know?
Well, how about this kind of story? My sell high is a guy you like, Trevor's story.
But what's there to sell?
Well, if you've looked, I mean, his last, let's see. Let me pull up his.
He was in the category I called that guy still in the league last week.
Right. But I think you were like, oh, hey, we should look into Trevor's story.
No, I know. I know.
So one out of his last six games, he's got 7 hits in his last six games with 2 home runs. He's got 3 steals. He's brought his season average up to 258. I absolutely think there's a little bit of a selling opportunity here. And I had since he came back from injury, I had his numbers up. If you give me 2 seconds here,
please take 2 seconds.
Yeah. So since being back, 9 for 34, this is according to GG Geis _MLB, he's gone 9 for 34 with 2 home runs, 3 RBIs and 2 steals. So,
he's been Trevor Story, basically.
Yeah, I think people will see that and they'll go, oh my God, Trevor Story might be back. I'm going to buy him. And, you know, he's going to have a phenomenal year next year. I'm not doing it. I'm not even going to touch him, because, I mean, I look at some of his underlying stuff, and again, real small sample, so I can't get too worked up. But every major metric other than sweet spot percentage is like well below league average. This includes, he's got a scary 85 mile an hour average exit velocity, just a 25% hard hit rate, a 251 xWOBA. It's just, there is not a hint of anything to be excited about here from a contact standpoint. There is some speed potential, right? You know, he's got a few steals already. He's got a good glove. He's not striking out at a crazy clip, but he's also not walking either. And just like you said, for sale, I'm happy that he's come back, and like, you know, his first 10 games or so have been phenomenal. And I'm sure Red Sox fans are happy. I'm sure Story's happy. But right now I'd be looking at that and I would be like, any opportunity I can get to sell him, I absolutely would be, because he is still rostered in every single dynasty league that I'm in. So, you know, there's definitely still some
value. Well, he's also
younger,
so people probably think there is some value there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And
that's why you could sell him and get value back.
Yeah. I would be like, I'm so happy I held on to him. Let me pawn him off immediately. So,
all right. Well, my last one, and you might disagree with this one because he's had an awesome year, is Vlad Guerrero Jr. He's had almost 400 on base. I think he had his 29th home run today. So he's up to like, what, 98 RBIs, 95 runs scored. He's been awesome and good for him. I think he has 96 runs scored. He's great year. And I think he's really worked himself back into, you know, a position that's been weak, first base. He's worked himself back into the conversation for top first baseman. The reason why I wouldn't draft him at his ADP, what it's going to be next year, or sell high on him this year, I think we're going to get a better year from Bryce Harper. I think we're going to get a better year from Pete Alonso. We're going to get a better year from Matt Olson. We're going to get a better year from Freddie Freeman. I think the first basemen are going to start to come back to where they should be. Christian Walker's not going to get hurt next year. I think there's going to be a lot of first basemen that are going to get their numbers up. And I think Vladdy, even if it's only a minor step back next year, I think relative for his first base value, where everyone's going to be like, oh my God, first base was a joke last year. We need Vladdy. He needs to be the number one first baseman on everyone's board. I wouldn't rush and do that. I would say, you know, he's going to fall off a drop just enough for everyone else. All those other guys who had down years this year, there's no way they're all going to have down years again next year. I expect them to come up a little bit, and his drop off just a little bit. You know, I'm really happy. Again, another guy who were like, wait, is this it? Like, he's never reached his potential. And then he turned it on. And now he feels like this is what we've been waiting for, Vlad. This is what we've seen glimpses of the first few years of your career. It's finally here. I think, you know, you take advantage of that and you pawn that off, and maybe you go get one of the other first basemen that you mentioned, Casas. Maybe he has a year that the numbers are comparable, at least, to you know, to what Vlad is doing. So that's how I feel about Vlad Guerrero going into next year.
Yeah, Vlad was a guy I really liked his underlying stuff this offseason. I didn't expect this from him. I may be a little regression. I may still be buying. So, you know, I'm going to be in a few drafts with you next year, and maybe I'll take Chris Sale and Vladdy, and we'll
take them. I'm going to take Trey Turner and Carlos Rodon, and trust me, I'm going to be losing my mind every time I have to work a game that Carlos Rodon is pitching. But congrats to me. I'll be working playoff games this year. So
good for you. Good luck.
I know.
Have fun.
I know. Mm-hmm. Yankee playoffs. You know, it's the first time in my life that I've worked for a team. Well, no, I worked the Ravens playoffs. Forget it. Never mind.
The only thing I wanted to mention for our prospect report here, I'm sure Ryan has been all over this. Hopefully, Acuna. If he's not, Luis Angel Acuna, baby. He's came
and
up.
Who knows how long Lindor's out for, right? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they had like a team meeting called by the general manager to like be like, hey guys, we're gonna have to pull it together while Lindor's gone. That tells you that maybe he's out for, they didn't put him on the IL, but maybe he's out for a little bit longer than people think. And I got to see Acuna's first career home run flew right in front of my face. I was sitting down the third base line. He's going to be a little bit of a roller coaster ride at shortstop. So obviously once Lindor gets back, he probably gets the full-time starting second base job with McNeil out. And, you know, Iglesias and the skater from the Olympics is a nice story. Alvarez. Do you know about this guy?
No.
He's like a pinch runner for the Mets. He's not a fantasy guy at all, but he's like pinch runner, backup infielder. I think he's an Olympic skater.
Well, I hope he doesn't, because I have a few shares of Ronnie Mauricio, who's still lying on the in the waiting room for his ACL injury to heal up. So next year, I'm hoping it's Mauricio at second base.
But yeah, well, I guess then you could play Acuna at third and then Vientos at first, because bye-bye, Pete.
But yeah, Pete's gone. Yeah, that's a good point.
Or Pete's DH. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're probably not re-signing J.D. Martinez. So there is a way where, you know, they all play.
Sure, right.
But then what do you do with Brett Beatty? Like, has Brett Beatty become
trade Beatty? Yeah, I mean, I just want to say real quick, I mean, he came up to replace Lindor, as you mentioned, and he's been absolutely scorching. 467 average and 2 home runs in 5 games. Good for Acuna. Happy to see him.
I'm saying he's the best baseball player in New York.
I pumped the brakes on that, because although he's really talented, even in AAA this year, like, his numbers weren't very good. I'm sorry?
Those some are all Mets fans.
Oh, sure. I mean, AAA, he had a 258 average and just 7 home runs in 131 games. 69 WRC plus is just, yeah. So maybe
Boomer
this is just
this on the morning show yesterday. Sure. He's like, some guys will just, they'll come up and like the bright lights, and it clicks
it
when
ignites
that happens
with them. Yeah, right.
They obviously have the talent, right? He's one of the top prospects. So it's in there somewhere. Think about that. They gave away Max Scherzer and got that back.
Yeah, people hated him for a while, but you know, I think some of these Mets trades are gonna look pretty good in a few years.
All right, that's gonna do it for us. Unless you got anything else, until next time, like, subscribe, share the podcast. Appreciate you all for listening. See ya.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.